happening, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome back. 7:12 on this faux Friday, Thursday morning with JR Simmer and Hammer. Beauty day on the way today. Sunny, 25 degrees. A little chilly out there right now at 10. Pierre McGuire will join us from points unknown. We think Las Vegas on his way to Montreal at some point. To talk about game two last night between Vegas and Montreal. A 3-2 Habs win. That will be after 8 o'clock. Then after 9, we're going to go even a little bit further west to San Diego. In fact, La Jolla, California, I believe, just outside of San Diego. Torrey Pines is the site of the U.S. Open. Third major of the golf season begins today, 9:45 Eastern. Will be the opening tee shots for Canadians in the field, as you just heard. And Bob Weeks is out there, and he will join us live from San Diego coming up just after 9 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, and San Diego, one of the most gorgeous places on the planet, JR, and had some scouting meetings back in the day, played some golf out there, did not play that course, but did play in La Jolla. And it's one of those areas, JR, where you can dress really, really poorly and still look rich if you've ever been there. It is just a gorgeous, gorgeous and super wealthy place.
You can dress poorly and look rich.
Oh, it just,
I'm trying to wrap my head around
that. Well,
because
when you go into these places, they're so swanky, and you just kind of like, okay, I know that guy looks like he's probably down and out, but he's probably a multimillionaire. It just kind of goes with the whole feel or
okay.
The whole vibe of being in La Jolla.
Gotcha.
Like I say, gorgeous, gorgeous area.
Okay. All right. Listen, I want you to tune into some of the coverage today on TSN.
Okay.
Because tomorrow, of course, is the big matchup. Yourself, Mark Mathot. I know Brent Wallace and Ian Mendez are involved, really, it's head-to-head. It's bragging rights in terms of the station here on the show because, of course, you're on this show.
That's true.
And Mathot is on In the Box.
Is he on today?
No, he's not on this because we got soccer at noon today.
Oh, no, so he's not on this week. He's probably out at the range.
Exactly.
Probably out with Elhamo or somebody or other people getting a lesson.
So, listen, I know that you haven't got the clubs out yet.
Yeah. Going to grab them after the show.
Okay, good. Yeah. Maybe blow the dust off them a little bit. So you'll be hitting Emerald Links tomorrow a little bit cold just in terms of warm up
very much.
So I want you to be, you know, I want you to watch, you know, some of the, you know, Rory's got a beautiful swing.
Just maybe
look at that, get some good swing thoughts going on, you know, some imagery, some good mental prep, all that other stuff, because it's show bragging rights on the line tomorrow.
Well, we're already
this is already
in his kitchen as far as the music, and I already, you know, this is really new to me, kind of he doesn't like the music. I've already put together a playlist.
Big 80s?
Backstreet Boys, starting off with that, and Backstreet.
Loves that music.
Backstreet's back just as Meth gets up on the tee, and so he's really into that. That, you know, he pretends to be heavy metal, which is always a closet sign that you're really more of a boy band guy, right? Right?
You know, I can see that.
You try to, like, it's like AJ. AJ at home probably listens to, like, the Bee Gees and all these other things.
And Hammer, your wife loves the boy bands, right? She's a huge fan.
Yeah, she's
Backstreet,
got a history. No, and NKOTB.
New Kids on the Block.
Yes.
What? There was one other.
NSYNC.
NSYNC.
Boys to Men was big.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know if I guess you could consider them a boy band. I don't think a lot of people did.
They were all love ballads, right? Now, that's true. They were a bit older.
They're
NSYNC and New Kids on the Block. Well, first of all, I'll even admit on that one, that's some of the worst music that was ever produced, right?
Oh, like, heavens yes.
Like that's
just garbage.
The fact that they circled back in their 40s and performed that again, that takes balls. But that, hey, when the money's there, then I guess you might as well end up doing
CTC,
it.
CTC, baby, cash them checks.
That's for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
All right, put together a playlist of all boy bands and have that ready to go if you need it, okay?
Yeah.
He doesn't like the music. Mathot doesn't like music on the golf course.
But he's got to give me strokes as well, right, Jared?
Oh, of course. You got to negotiate that.
Yeah, and he's already confirmed he's a 12.
He confirmed on the radio last week he's a 12 handicap.
Yeah,
You're going in with zero experience this year, so I think you got to play too, and I've seen you play. Characterize yourself as, let's say, a 20.
Yeah, for
sure.
So
he's giving you 8 strokes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
okay?
That's good.
And
that's
again,
good.
I think the other big part, because as a, you know, kind of a big, strong, just at NHL athlete, I think he's going to want to hit it long. I think he
that's
got it,
true.
You know, for that 27 at Emerald, and the 3 great nines.
Yeah.
But the one that's got a lot of water on it, I think you got to make sure that's, you know, 9 of the 18 you play is that one.
Yeah.
That's very key to this.
No, I agree. And also,
do you need me to call?
Well, you know what? That could be. Or even the opportunity during the, you know, he'll be looking at his phone. You can message him. You can via Twitter start to work him a little bit.
Nice.
He also feels like if a meltdown does happen, you know, there's a possibility of breakage of clubs. right? So, yeah, we get him kind of, we've already got him on the ropes with the music part. So, yeah.
Now, the fact that you're playing with your girlfriend's clubs does concern me a little bit.
No, they're the combo. It's a combo. It's a hybrid set that we share. So, you know, I wouldn't want to designate that they're hers. You know, she's 5'11", and so she's not going to, no disrespect to women's normal, like normal clubs, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. these are built for both of us. So,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. They're you. Okay, all right, then. Yeah. No concerns there whatsoever. Okay, so it's, and I brought you a bag of balls that
yeah.
I had. So
yeah, I saw
there.
That. And how are we looking for the, I didn't get a chance to go into the shopping bag.
Yeah.
But what are we looking at here?
Mostly ones I found last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
are we?
How many are driving range balls that
no.
you gave him?
No. He plays at a high end course hammer.
Yeah, I find the balls.
Finding balls at that Canada. That honestly, like, yeah. what a racket that is, eh? Like, what else in the planet do you spend a fair amount of money on? Hit it or do whatever you to you at one time, JR, and then just walk away from it. Like, what is an average three balls on a good sleeve of golf balls
Pro V1s are the most popular golf ball.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
right, and a dozen balls, depending on for the most, I'll say it's $60.
Okay, so $5 a ball.
Yeah, $5 a ball, and you're absolutely right. You would be astounded how many you find, and it's not like you got to go into the woods. They're like, okay, I'll just kind of look in the ground. Oh, there's one right there. Yeah, there's one right there. Like, literally, I walk my dog every night on the golf course after it's done. And I can walk away with it with a dozen balls if I wanted to look.
The best courses down south are the ones that have the ponds. And in the ponds, they already have the net right there. And they twice a year just decide to raise the net. And you're just laughing. You've come to my pro shop. You've purchased a bunch of my stuff. And now you're depositing it into my pond. And I'm going to raise my net. And I'm going to bring all those balls back. And I'm going to sell them back. To you next
but
time
at half the price.
That's true.
Because they're water
generally
balls.
Generally used. Yeah.
Which Kevin Hames would tell you that you should not play water balls that come out of
the
water. Yeah,
okay.
It does not necessarily be the best.
Okay,
anyway,
okay.
Best of luck. We'll do another pep talk tomorrow morning before the big match. What do you got set? High noon tomorrow?
Yeah, high noon.
Okay.
Getting ready to rock and roll. Okay. So it should be nice to get out. I'll do a little limbering up. I'm going to work out today, but I'm not going to do anything heavy, Jer. Just more of a tune-up kind of a feel. A lot of stretching, and then I'll probably maybe try to get to the range and just loosen things up just a little bit. We'll be good.
Also, no extracurriculars at home, too, because you need
that's
you need
true.
All your inner strength for the course. No tub sharing.
Yeah.
No tub time.
Yeah, that's actually
no tub time tonight.
No, real good point there, Hammer. What what soccer team was it, JR, back in the day in the World Cup? They weren't allowed to have sex. Do you remember that?
I think all of them at one
point. But
yeah.
that was a big.
They all shut it down. No wives.
Was it? Well, no. They weren't worried about the wives. They were worried about the ladies of the night. Mm. Remember the Brazilian team, right? That was
sure.
A bit of an issue there. So that's an excellent point, Hammer. Got to stay focused here.
That's right.
Yeah, light workout. You know, really lots of lemon water today. Eat properly and be ready to rock and roll.
Let meth make those mistakes, not you.
Show bragging rights. That's all I got to say. I don't want to put any pressure on you, but Hammer and I are counting on you.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, reminder as well for everybody else that we got our TSN 1200 Majors pool online. You've got 2 hours, just turned 2 hours and 24 minutes to get your picks in if you haven't already. Or if you've maybe changed your opinion on somebody, you want to go in and you can change them up. They get locked in at 9:45 this morning. So go to our website, tsn1200.ca. Green banner right across the top says golf pool. Click on that if you've not played one of our pools before. A little bit of info to fill out and then make your picks. Your team of nine, if it's better than everybody else, you'll win the grand prize courtesy of Royal LePage Team Realty, your home team of your very own Google Nest. And more importantly, bragging rights as well as being the best picker for a TSN 1200 Majors pool. So again, things close up 9:45 this morning as the opening tee shots are hit. Get your picks in before then at tsn1200.ca. Okay, 7:21. We'll get to the Habs win over Vegas coming up in the next segment. Want to touch on a couple of other off-the-ice issues. Jason Spetz is re-upped with with the Leafs yesterday. If you're wondering about the timing, this was interesting to me of why he was signed then. The Maple Leafs have potentially undecided on which way they're going to go with the expansion draft, because a lot of people had thought they were going to go with the protect four forwards and four defense.
Yeah.
If they have either changed their mind or aren't sure yet, you have to have at least two forwards that meet the criteria and one defenseman. And if the Maple Leafs go with seven forwards, they actually don't have enough forwards that meet the criteria. So they had to sign somebody. So they signed Spetz. And, of course, he's already said last year when he was put on waivers, right? Anybody picks me up, I'm retiring.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I'm assuming the same message will be put to Seattle now that he's been signed. you pick me, I'm going to retire. Now, they can still pick him, and I guess that forces his hand in retiring.
Yeah.
But if you're wondering why the timing, that may be part of it to fulfill potential criteria for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, and if I'm Seattle, JR, I'd have to see what the expansion list is for Toronto. At the end of the day, I'd probably just grab Spezza if nothing else is good. And I'm not trying to ruin the guy's career, but just then turn around and say to Colin, you know, do you want to give me a pick for sending him back to you? But I, again, it also depends what's available for Toronto.
Now, would that be considered... Because Jason Spezza, a highly respected veteran, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Would you consider in any way that to be a dirty pool by Ron Francis?
Oh, gosh, no. I think dirty pool signing him and putting, making him available and playing shenanigans that, hey, I'm going to retire if I don't have anything better to grab. But he'll have to end up seeing the list at the end of the day. And for Jason, hey, I think the real story here, JR, is just the level he's played at, kind of going back to the bubble playoffs. And then last year, at $750,000. Now, they don't need Simmons. They don't need Thornton. Don't need Foligno. But Mr. Spezza, $750,000 is absolute quality for this hockey team right now.
What they found was, and credit to Sheldon Keefe, they found the sweet spot for Jason Spezza.
Yeah,
he played 11 minutes
a
night, and his points per minute, which is a measurement that the analytics committee likes to look at, one of the highest in the NHL.
But
the thing is, and everybody was kind of advocating, especially in the playoffs when they're having trouble, you know, elevate Spezza, you know, have him play 17, 18 minutes. I think part of the reason that he was successful is that 38 years old, that, his minutes were limited, that he was he was put in to take key faceoffs on the right-hand side.
Yeah. Yeah.
He helped kill some penalties. He played on the power play. And he played in a fourth-line role. And 11 minutes was found to be about the sweet spot for him, as evidenced by his production.
Well, and a lot of players, you see that more in defensemen when all of a sudden you bump up, JR. But I think physically, but I think people would be a little shocked mentally. You know exactly kind of what I have to prep for coming into a game and once you're out of that comfort zone. So, yeah, totally agree with that.
Is there, and I understand, for all aspects of this make it look like it's a no-brainer from both. And I get it from Jason Spezza's side, right? It's his hometown.
It's
a good team. He's got a chance to win that elusive Stanley Cup. I get all that part of it. And for Toronto, hey, the guy, we just talked about the production, valuable player. Is there any part of this where you kind of go, yeah, I get all that. But man, if I can get a fourth line, a guy who plays fourth line minutes, who, I don't know, could elevate and play more minutes if I needed to, brings a more physical element to it, you know, typical fourth line player that we're seeing, especially in the playoffs, right? Where it's kind of bigger, more robust guys, and that's not Jason Spezza's game. That Toronto has too many of the same types of forwards. Is it valid criticism that maybe, maybe they're going down the wrong path with Jason Spezza?
I'd say no, JR, because as I said, I think as a bigger body and for what he provides, I don't think it's realistic at $750,000. And when Tavares is back and Kerfoot slides into that, I think down the middle you're in a pretty good spot. Their issue was that Simmons to Thornton, as I said, and making the trade for Foligno is hurt. That's the issue, and that's where they have to be better at replacing and if you're going to find value. So, no, I don't agree with that on Jason. I think, and again, on the face-offs, big body, ability to do some things on your power play, I think that's super valuable.
All right. Meanwhile, Chris Stevenson reporting that Troy Mann, the head coach of the Belleville Senators, his contract is up at the end of the month of June. And CJ reporting the two sides have made progress on a new contract, not signed yet.
Yeah.
Of course, Troy Mann, by all accounts, has been excellent as the developmental coach in the Sens system. Versus brother is the chief amateur scout. It's very this is unique, right? Do you know of any other time in your time in the league or even now where you had two brothers hold pretty key positions in an organization?
You know what? I don't. Did Keith ever work with Wayne in Arizona, Jer? I don't know, but hey, come on, like the chances of both guys working in hockey, no, it's very rare. Now the Hunter brothers in London would be a great example, but in the National Hockey League, no. And for Ottawa, hey, I said yesterday because I wanted to be complimentary, not looking past it. Pierre Dorion came up with the plan, he provided the picks, but let's not kid ourselves. Without Mann's drafting and without Mann's development in Belleville, we're not looking nearly as bullish as what's going on. These guys are flat out the MVPs of what's going on, and I'll focus on Mr. Mann, who's the coach in Belleville. I thought by now we'd start to hear some whispers about him getting some evaluations or interviews like in Buffalo or other teams, JR. Here's a few things on this. They need him in Belleville right now. I think he should be getting looked at as an NHL coach. He's done a great job. But as far as a contract, it shouldn't be that hard to do. But here's a couple of things. What are you offering from a money standpoint? Because he's very valuable. What are you offering in term? But I have to think, and I don't know if it would be timing-wise, when I read the Capuano story and I'm sitting there, man, I'm not signing a 3 or 4 year contract if you're telling me I can't get an opportunity to interview for NHL coaching jobs, right?
If you're Troy Mann?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder
if the Sens look at it differently from your NHL assistants as opposed to your minor league head coach.
I am told that this is a flat-out policy, and it is for everybody under contract. And I asked why Timmy Murray, and as I said, it was no big deal. There was just a different circumstance to that one. No, this is for everybody. So if I'm Mann, and I'm looking at this right now, JR, and then the other part is that I have to think there's other American League teams looking at him and saying, listen, you come here, we're going to pay you some nice money, so what is the decision on that? It shouldn't be that big of a deal, but I'm going to give you money and term and also the freedom to interview for jobs. Well, if I'm Mann at this point, I've got something to really think about, which is really hard to leave a very special situation, JR, but I'm right at the point where, like I said, I think he's right, should be in a conversation for getting an NHL job. Well, I'm not going to sign up for 4 years here in Ottawa if you won't let me interview.
What does you were GM of the Portland Pirates at one point.
Yeah, for 7 years. Yeah.
So let's project ahead a few years. Salaries have gone up.
Sure.
What do you think a typical American Hockey League head coach would make?
Yeah, between 150 and 250 US. That would be a guesstimate. I'm throwing that way out there. By the time I left in 2004, worked with the Leafs till 2008, coaches there, although the Toronto coaches, even when we had Paul Maurice, I think we were paying Paul $400,000. So very much varying. What I would say, though, big picture, JR, based on what they're making and what he may be offered with another team, money should not be an issue. If you're running this thing properly, and if he came to me and said, listen, for the job you've done and the job I want you to do going forward, if I need $250,000 US, which is one third of a crappy fifth line player in the National Hockey League, mm-hmm. I'll give him his $250,000 all day long. Yeah. Like, this is where you get into. Like, and for the brother, the same thing, man. If you're making 100.5 Canadian right now, and I got to pay you 300 US, if I'm going to pay the both Mann brothers 500 US for what they're going to mean to this franchise, which is suffering in other areas, and for what they've meant already, first of all, they should have bonuses for what they've done. Like, just think about that for a second. 500,000 US for the best drafting team, I think, in the National Hockey League, and one of, if not the best development coach. Pretty easy money, is it not?
Yeah. Well, and again, the Senators have put all their eggs in this rebuild basket. And so it is all their future success is predicated upon A, drafting well, and B, developing well. These are the players that are going to determine if this whole plan is successful or not. And these are the two guys, as you said, that have been front and center as part of all this. So it would be folly right now. Now, I guess you could make the point that maybe Trent Mann has done the heavy lifting and that the vast majority of what he's already done is now into the system. And so I don't want to say his job is done now, I think it would be silly to, you know, to allow him to walk. You still are drafting every year. Yeah. But Troy Mann, right, in developing all these draft picks and making them into NHL hockey players is, you know, that's an integral part of all this that's happening in Ottawa.
You know what? And this is the part, JR, and this is for every team in the National Hockey League. I'm looking at the way Vegas is built, to Montreal, to the Islanders, to Tampa. It never stops. I mean, this is what's put Ottawa in this place. And let's be honest, too. I mean, we're not exactly 100% confident on the pro side when it comes to signings and trades. If what's going to, you know, if that had been kind of mediocre on the amateur side, we're sitting there right now and looking at a Buffalo situation. You need this. And people have said, because I like Mann, I like both of them. But as far as Coach Mann, he needs to stay in Belleville. Mr. Mann, the drafter, needs to stay in the amateur side because this never ends, JR. If you're going into the spot where you want to is Ottawa,
right.
Now I get into cap stress. This is exactly what will allow you to be a shrewd team and not get to these contracts at 28 and 29 and, you know, all of a sudden start handing out because you don't have anybody to replace them. But more importantly, you become emotionally attached. So they've been super valuable and they should be paid on that. And they're going to be even more valuable going forward. So like I said, I hope they can get this done. And if you take the step back and you look big picture and just be honest of where this company is at and the money that's being spent, these guys already deserve 5-7 year contracts. And I'm not being unrealistic. Like, I'm I'm so bullish on both of them. They're such a key, and it's such minimal money when you look at a multi-million dollar business, a franchise that's probably worth probably $500-600 million U.S. at this point.
Well, I would make the same point, and I'm not saying that they need to go to a Maple Leaf level, but I would say I would make the same point about the Senators making an investment at the analytical level as well. They have one of the smallest analytics staff, and I use the word staff in air quotes. At least publicly. I don't know what kind of services they use, and it's possible that they there's an independent third party or an organization that they're getting some of their analytics work from. But at least on the, you know, on the public profile, it's a very small staff. And as we you don't put all your eggs in that basket. Pierre Maguire would say that maybe you don't need to put any eggs in that basket. But I think the way the NHL is going and the vast majority of the way teams are going, that is an important part of it. And you want to talk about minimal investment and getting your money back. If you if you've got one smart guy, one nerd, a hockey nerd, that tells you don't trade for that guy or don't draft that guy based on, and here I'll run the spreadsheet for you and here's why, and that player would cost you $5 million in sunk cost, you could have you could pay 10 of those guys for 5 years each. And that would pay for itself there. So it's the small little investments that you make, especially if you're trying to do this on a budget, and you don't want to blow your brains out until you absolutely have to. When you think you have a Stanley Cup, these are the small steps that you that require minimal money. That are going to help you along the way here.
Yeah, you get into all the simple stuff, you know, penny wise, pound foolish, JR. You look at it as you just pointed out. Go back to last offseason and just be honest. Don't be, get all fired up that we're being critical. That was one of the worst off seasons I've seen by a general manager in a long time. They're fortunate for where they're at, and it hasn't ruined the future. He didn't mortgage it. He didn't give, 10-year contracts. But if you didn't look at last off season and say, okay, there's something wrong with our analysis and how we're doing this, well, then you're not going to be very successful going forward. And to your point, if you could have avoided a simple contract like a Dadonov or some of the things that they've done on Colin White to other spots, no, you're absolutely right. Try to fine-tune it. Now, I'll also say on the analytical, you can have the biggest department in the world. If your scouts and your personnel people and your manager don't believe in it, that's also another issue, right?
Yep,
because,
for sure.
If the guy walking in with the data every day is just kind of being like, whatever. That's a part of it. But I just think in any situation now, and Pierre Dorion's a smart guy and he's a young guy, the more information I can have and the more discussion I can create, like we have, and I mean this so sincerely, we have discussions on the show here and we have discussions online with Mark Mathot or Lloydie or anybody else involved. It always brings out different opinion and different thoughts when you walk away, and that's all you're asking for if you work for a company or a sports team is let's get some people together here and let's have some healthy discussions and make some right decisions.
All right, we'll take a break. 7:35. When we come back, we are going to take you to Vegas. Talk about last night's Montreal win over the Knights, which has tied the semifinal at a game apiece. How huge is that win for Montreal? Now they're coming home. They've taken home ice advantage away from Vegas. So we'll chat all about that and, of course, talk to Pierre Maguire about it as well coming up after 8 o'clock. Just before 8, our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute. Is today the day that we're going to give away the $1,000? Hopefully we came close yesterday, right? 9 out of 10 with our contestant. And the one that he missed was a 50-50, a yes or no question that unfortunately he got wrong. That's how close we were to 1,000. Maybe today will be the day. We'll do it just before 8 o'clock this morning right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. And Hammer, Pierre Maguire coming up after 8. Pierre was between the benches last night to watch Montreal beat Vegas 3-2. Here's part of why they won.
Paul Byron negotiates back a little bit further. The play is just the way the Canadians would want it right now. You'd have to think a breakaway. Byron right into the backhand, and he shoots and scores. Paul Byron found his way in behind the defense. He roofed it, and it's 3-0 Montreal.
Man, Paul Byron has still got great wheels. Not that he's an old-timer, but wheels, and that was a beauty of a back. I mean, a lot of guys right now, especially the composite sticks, cannot shoot a backhand to save their life. But that was a beauty. Top corner, Marc-Andre Fleury was going for the poke check, and he just held it on long enough, goes top corner to give Montreal a 3-0 lead in what would eventually be a 3-2 win.
Yeah, and he had the beauty one, was it from the knees against the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Game one.
So, been some key goal scoring, and I guess for both teams, Jer, kind of a scoring by committee. But from the Montreal Canadiens' perspective, watching the game, I just think, hey, you know what? You wake up this morning and say, well, first of all, they didn't run us out of the building physically. I think we can match up. And it was such a strange year, and all the hype about the American versus a crappy Canadian division, that ended up being a nice victory yesterday. Not the best third period, but again, overall, I think Montreal's pretty confident coming home for game three Wednesday.
Big part of last night's win in comparison, if you think about to game one. Montreal played really well in period one of game one, but then ended up being behind 1-0. Last night, they played really well in game one. In game two, in fact, even better probably than game one. But they got the all-important first goal. I think that moves them now to, I believe, 8-1 when they score first in the playoffs. And not only that, they got a second goal as well. So they're up to 2-0. Here's Pete DeBoer, the Vegas coach, on playing from behind.
You know, you can't fall behind that much that early. And you know, it's not even one goal. You know, when you get down two, it's just really hard to come back. I mean, we've done it before. We did it in the Colorado series. But you're playing with fire when you do that, and we got burned tonight.
Yeah, and it makes it hard to come back as well when you've got forwards, a lot of whom, and a lot of people watch a lot of hockey, be hard-pressed to name some of these guys Vegas has playing these days. Holy cow, like a Patrick Brown and a Kolesar. Some of these, like their center ice last night. Yeah. Chandler Stephenson, again, was a scratch, late scratch. Was not a healthy scratch, so it's something injury related. He's their number one, he's like it or not, and he apparently is very good analytically and okay numbers.
And liked in the room.
Yeah, and good in the room, but plays between Pacioretty and Stone, and they go from him, they go to Nick Waugh.
Yeah.
Moves up to the number one line. He had 6 goals and 15 points. Yeah. He's your number one center last night in a team that's playing in the league semifinal.
Yeah. And I love Mark Stone, Jer. And yesterday I had to take down my tweet. He's got 4 or 5 goals and 3 assists in 14 games. I love him. And everybody's like, you know what? He does all the other stuff. Hey, I'll tell you what. In a playoff series, you want to win, and Ryan O'Reilly and Patrice Bergeron, because I'll say this because they play properly, you know what they're also asked to do, Jer? They're also asked to put up points. I don't care how well you're playing away from the puck. At $9.5 million, I expect that from Mark Stone. Then I'll go to Pacioretty. Then I'll go to could you find Marchessault last night in the game? Then I'll go to Riley Smith and kind of down the lineup. This is not a lineup that should scare the bejesus out of you at 5-on-5 if you're playing properly. I just look at it and say, okay, yeah, they can afford to get a lead because we've wondered in the past why they have a hard time scoring when they generate chances. Start to go through some of that lineup and tell me, you know, who are the supernatural? And again, love Stone. I like Pacioretty. But you start to go deep in that lineup, Jer, and I'm like, wow, look at this forward group. They're into the semifinals, and there must be a reason for it. But as I said, if I've got Carey Price and I'm Montreal, I can get a lead. I'll take my chances, man.
Both of Vegas's goals last night came off of one draws, where it was a one draw over to Pietrangelo, scores the goal. Yeah. So there were not any rush chance goals or any cycling goals or anything like that. It was based on winning faceoffs, and 2 of the 4 goals they scored the other night were on one faceoffs. And don't get me wrong, that's you score any way you can, but if you're going to score, and especially if the other team has good faceoff guys, that lessens your chance of scoring goals off that particular part of it. Like you've got to be able to create some offense both through the rush and off the cycle as well.
Well, and to that, and that's a big part of it, JR, last night, dominant on the draws was Montreal. And really, was it 60-40 it ended up being? And losing Chandler Stephenson is actually very good on faceoffs. So exactly to your point, that really, to me, favors Montreal. Now, let's forward back to Montreal and the opportunity to have Deneau out there as much as you can, right? That, to me, is something to really watch because, again, with Kotkaniemi and Suzuki, and I don't know Stahl's numbers, but, boy, that matchup that Montreal will get Friday and Sunday could be huge because, as you just pointed out, that's basically the set play that Vegas has scored all their goals off in Game 1 and 2.
Yeah, and Nick Suzuki, who lost both of those draws in the defensive zone, which led to the 2 Vegas goals last night, actually only lost, he was 10-3 in faceoffs in his own end last night. Unfortunately, 2 of the 3 he lost ended up right into the back of his net. Yeah. So it's not like he's getting cleaned out in the circle. No. It's just the 2 he lost ended up. And you would think at some point, look, like Montreal, like this has the MO is it's back to the 1D, throws it to the other D who scores the goal. Let's have the forward, I guess it would be the left side forward on that on that line, maybe go out and cover Pietrangelo right away. That might be a way to shut that down fairly easily.
I agree, or just understand without getting a penalty from the defenseman's standpoint, just understanding how to block out a little bit better. And I'll also, JR, at the end of the day, I'll take my chances once in a while, is that how many of those pucks seem to find their way through to the net, that I think that'll even out as well. I don't want to give it up. I got a little, as you say, be a little smarter, a little quicker off the rotation. But if that's where you're going to say, I'm going to have to score from with Carey Price, like I said, I think that'll settle out as we get deeper into the series.
If someone knows the answer to this, because we don't, we're talking off the air, as to what's happened with Cody Glass. I don't know that he's... I went looking last night, and I didn't see any of the pregame shows or anything, so I don't know when they announced Stevenson was going to be out, because Cody Glass... Right, they had the three first-round picks that first year. Cody Glass was the first of the three. Brännström was the second, and Nick Suzuki ended up being the third. Well, as it sits right now, it's pretty clear Nick Suzuki was the best of the three guys, and he was the third guy. Brännström remains to be seen, and Cody Glass right now is, I looked at his stats at least last night. Spent half of the year playing in the minors again. I don't know if he's on the taxi squad. If he's not ready for primetime yet or if he's injured. But, boy, you would hope at this point, a 2018 sixth overall draft pick where you don't have any depth to speak of at center ice, that he would be ready to go. And he's not. And, again, he could be hurt, so I could be completely off base here. But if he's just not ready, that's a huge swing and a miss as far as your scouts go.
I never hear his name mentioned, and I'm last night saying to myself, well, shouldn't Vegas' center ice be Suzuki and Glass? I'm sure they'd take Suzuki over Pacioretty right now. But to Glass, you also go back to this, JR, in analysis and trade, we were always told, even based on Mark Stone, that he was untouchable, was he not, on Glass? Like, that was the theme out of Vegas. Hey, we'll move other guys, but we're not moving him. So, yeah, surprise. And if it's not injury-related, like I said, if Nick... Hua is playing a heady along with the rest of this crew, that's not a great sign for sure for Vegas. And people have asked, hey, you think they'll be busy in the offseason doing some other things? They're always very bold. Well, I think they've run out of bullets at this point. I don't see how there's anything they can trade away at this point. They are what they are.
Right. So good win for Montreal, by the way, front to back. And that's got to fill them with a lot of confidence, a much better. Not that game one was terrible, but after the period, Vegas was the better team. Last night, Montreal, first two periods were good. Third period, listen, they're playing with a lead. They're playing more defensively structured, trying to limit the opportunities, all the typical stuff that we see. So the shots look lopsided. But I didn't think it was, an incredibly ice-tilting period. And when they needed it, Carey Price made the saves, and they got the win.
Yeah, and as I said, Jared, it's so unique in a year like this, because it is the feeling-out process. And if you're a Montreal player, you're looking at the TV, and you're watching this Colorado series and thinking, God, is that the same league? And you're watching the crowd and the physicality. I think the important part is that both in the crowd and the physicality, you weren't intimidated in any way. I thought Reeves was a complete non-factor. I mean, he does his thing, but you know what I mean? There was nothing where you walked out. I just think, if you're Montreal, kind of look around, regroup, head home, opportunity, get the right matchups, get a bit of a home crowd. No, I should feel very confident that you've taken back home ice advantage and think, hey, boy, we got a legitimate chance here to go to the final for the first time in, 29 years?
3,500 fans will be at the Bell Center. They've increased capacity by 1,000 for this round three matchup. And I believe the tickets, are being distributed, through season ticket holders. So I would think Mr. Molson will be on the phone quite a bit, maybe getting a few emails from today from some of their more respected season ticket holders.
Yeah.
That's always got to be the tough part of that job is saying yes to somebody and saying to somebody else, quite. What about maybe, opening night next season?
Yeah.
Or, if it's put it on the government. If the government increases the capacity, I'm all over tickets for you.
Or you know what you also do? My assistant's in charge of that. Got somebody else. You kind of push it along here. What I also wonder for some of the big spenders in Vegas, will we see much of that? Probably not. But I also think from the standpoint of Montreal, we got to see a J.J. Watt sighting at some point here. He is full on bandwagon with his Wisconsin alumni. Did J.J. Watt play at Wisconsin, Jer? Or is he just a Wisconsin? Wisconsin guy?
That's a good question. Okay. He's from Wisconsin. Yeah. I'm trying to think.
But
he did.
Okay, so he's wearing the Caulfield jerseys and having some fun with it. And there is, I thought Caulfield last night was overhandling the puck overall, especially off the rush. But
it's a sweet little dish to Toffoli.
It is, though. And just that, man, his energy. And now you start to feel like, again, right matchups with him and Suzuki and Toffoli at even strength and on the power play. I think some better things are going to happen as he gets more and more comfortable. And like I say, his ability without being, he's quick, you know, but he just opens up the ice and there's just such a fun energy every time he hops on.
All right. So series is 1-1 going back to Montreal for game three tomorrow, game three tonight, Lightning Islanders. This one on the island, you want to talk about buildings that are going to be crazy.
Yeah,
it will be tonight. Nikita Kucherov, by the way, celebrates his 28th birthday today. Leading scorer in the playoffs so far this year. He's got 22 points in 13 games. Like, he's almost at 2 points a game.
Yeah.
This guy didn't play one game during the season,
I know.
And he is doing what he's doing in these playoffs.
Yeah, and you know, people get fired up, JR. First of all, now, could he have come back a week early? I don't know, but he had surgeries out for the year. This is the rules. It was the LA Kings, and I can't remember if it was Brad Richards or Carter or somebody. LA was the first team to do it. I remember where it's like, oh, all of a sudden they realize there's no salary cap. People ask me what my thought is. Well, if you have a salary cap during the regular season, I don't know why you don't have a salary cap during the playoffs, but that's just me.
Mm. Last 25 years, most points by one player for a team through their first 13 playoff games. Nathan MacKinnon last year, 23.
Okay.
Nikita Kucherov this year, 22.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
25 years of playoff statistics. Yeah. That's how well that Nikita Kucherov is doing. So we'll see what happens tonight in Game 3, a game you'll hear right here on TSN 1200. 8 o'clock will be the face-off time from Long Island. Okay, 7:55. Is today going to be the day? Yesterday was as close to giving away the grand as we've come, right? 9 out of 10, and the one the guy missed was a 50-50 question, and unfortunately, he either thought he knew or guessed incorrectly.
That was the question I said would be the troublemaker.
Okay, missed. Okay, Kreskin. What do you got, what's the tough one today?
You know what? I don't know if there is a tough one today.
No, I made it pretty easy today.
I think they're all pretty easy.
I'm trying, look. Everybody.
If you want to give away a grand, give Simmer five and give me 500.
No. I want a listener to win the $1,000.
Right.
I can only make this so easy.
Give me the full 1,000, JR, and I'll put that down against my thought tomorrow. I'll come back with either 2G or nothing.
Okay. Yeah. I think I trust the listeners more.
Yeah, I would agree on that.
Yes,
too.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Here's the thing. If you'd like to play, text us right now at 12-1200. Before I say what text we're going to, because yesterday, if you text us to say you want to play the contest, you have to answer the phone if we call you. So turn your ringer on if it's turned off. What else, Hammer, would have someone not answer their phone? What else would they have done with their phone?
If you go to the bathroom, take the phone with you.
Yeah.
Most people do anyway. Well,
you had to call five people yesterday before we found somebody.
God, it was
brutal. And he almost won $1,000. So please, okay, if you want to, we want you to play. We want you to be the right texter, but you gotta take our phone call when we call you. All right, all that to say, we will take lucky texter number 71. Apropos of nothing, at 12-1200. Standard messaging rate supply. Texter number 71 will play our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute next on TSN 1200.
TSN 1200's $1,000 minute.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 8 o'clock on the dot. We've got Martin ready to play our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute contest. How you doing, Martin?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good, 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 good. How do you do in the home version?
Pretty good.
Okay,
pretty good.
All right.
Yes.
Let's see.
It's a lot more nervous when you're on the phone.
Don't be nervous. You're among friends here. Everybody that's listening right now, Martin, wants you to win. Believe me.
Okay.
I want you to win.
All right.
Hammer wants you to win. Simmer, we're not quite sure. He's trying to abscond with $1,000 himself and bet it on the golf course tomorrow. So that remains to be seen. Okay,
I want you to win.
Yeah, I want you. Yeah, you want you.
And your family wants you to win, Martin.
Okay, Martin, here's the way the contest works. I got 10 questions. You've got 60 seconds. You go 10 for 10. You're going to win $1,000 in cash. We'll give you $10 per correct answer. These are the very simple rules. I need all of your answers by the time the 60-second buzzer goes. I need to accept your first full complete answer.
Okay.
And if you want to, you can pass. If we have time, we will circle back to the question. Okay?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I love the confidence. Here we go, Martin. Good luck. We're going to start in 3, 2, 1, go. Has Montreal or Toronto gone the longest without playing in a Stanley Cup final?
Toronto.
Who did the Sens get in the Mark Stone trade?
Branston.
How many seasons did Kawhi Leonard play for the Raptors? 1, 2, or 3?
1.
Who leads the NHL playoffs in points?
Kucherov.
Vegas picked up Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith from what team as part of the expansion draft?
Florida.
True or false, Italy has not won soccer's World Cup in the 2000s?
False.
Where did Jason Spezza play between Ottawa and Toronto?
Dallas.
How many times has a Canadian won the men's U.S. Golf Open?
None.
Name an NFL team that O.J. Simpson played for.
Buffalo Bills.
Who's older, Serena or Venus Williams?
Venus.
Okay, we got all 10 answers? Okay, let's review. Martin.
Wow. Martin sounded pretty good there.
Yeah. I like it. Confident with his answers.
Yeah.
Okay, has Montreal or Toronto gone the longest without going to the Cup Final? Toronto would be correct. They haven't won it, nor have they been in it since 1967. Who did the Sens get in the Mark Stone trade? Eric Brandstrom. How many seasons did Kawhi Leonard play with the Raptors? 1 is correct. Who leads the NHL playoffs in points? Well, we were just talking about it. Nikita Kucherov, you're right there. Vegas picked up Marchessault and Riley Smith from Florida. True or false, Italy has not won the World Cup in the 2000s. That's false. They won in 2006. Martin, you're 6 for 6 so far.
Nice.
How you feeling?
That's the one I was scared of.
Oh, Jason Spezza, where did he play between Ottawa and Toronto? Dallas is correct. How many times has a Canadian won the U.S. Men's Golf Open? 0 is correct.
Nice.
Name an NFL team that O.J. Simpson played for. Buffalo Bills. Do you know the other one, just out of interest? Finished his career with San Francisco.
Yes.
Last one, Martin. For $1,000, who's older, Serena or Venus Williams? You answered Venus Williams, correct?
That's right.
That is right!
Ah.
You did it! We've got a winner! Finally!
Yeah!
Way to go, Martin!
That's awesome.
Oh, my God. You just won $1,000.
Hammer, where's the Al Michaels?
Believe in miracles? Yes!
There we go.
Nice.
Oh, we've come so close in the past few weeks.
That was good stuff.
Martin, you pushed it over the top. You've won $1,000.
Thank you.
Oh, what are you doing with the G-note, Martin?
I don't know, but I'll do something good.
Maybe a weekend bender. Yeah. Go to Montreal.
Do something reckless, Martin. You know, this is like found money.
Okay? Send us pictures.
I just decided this is so cool.
Yeah. Don't be paying off the MasterCard. You're doing something boring.
Hangover 4. Start right now. And don't return home till Monday.
Martin, that's absolutely fantastic. You're a $1,000 winner in our TSN 1200,000 minute. Way to go.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Hang on the line. We'll get you some more information, all right?
Okay.
All right, way to go. Finally.
Nice, right. Jer. That was awesome.
Yep.
That U.S. Open was, I just would have gone with none, but I thought that was a bit of a trick. Have we come close, Jer?
Dave Barr, Barr in 1985 finished second. Of course, Mike Weir's the only Canadian to win a major, and that was the Masters,
That's right?
So it's a bit of it's one of those ones where it's like, I think it's 0. Of course it's 0.
Yeah.
But you always think in the back of your mind. But he said the one that he was not sure about was Italy in the World Cup.
Okay, and so explain that again. So they did win in 06?
Yes.
Did they win on penalty kicks against France?
I don't remember the circumstances.
Okay.
Anyway, that one ended up being a false, and so correct. That was the one he was unsure about. So there we go. We've finally given away the $1,000, everybody.
Okay.
Still got another 1,000 up for grabs tomorrow. Yeah. Maybe we'll get on a heater now. Maybe it'll be 2 days in a row tomorrow. All right.
Awesome.
A little past 8 o'clock. We'll get you the latest news and run down the scoreboard. Habs win in Vegas. We'll talk about it with Pierre McGuire coming up next on TSN 1200.